It's good to be here in God's house. I trust that you've had a good week in the Lord. Now let me say thank you to the teenagers and the youth who put together our Valentine banquet this past Friday night, especially Sarah heading that up and organizing everything. For the ladies who helped cook the hams and the cakes and the chicken and all that stuff, getting it ready so the teens could serve it, you outdid yourself this year. You did. It was probably the best one that I've been to here at the church, and all of them have been great, but you did a great job this year, and I'm excited for you, excited for camp, looking forward to what God's going to do in your hearts because of your efforts in raising funds to get yourself to camp. There is absolutely nothing wrong, parents, with a teenager raising money, working, footing part of the bill to get to camp. Nothing. It actually helps them in the long run. They appreciate it a little bit more. So I appreciate the effort there. And then the men's retreat's coming up, and we had two more sign up and say they wanted to go. Now it's coming up soon. If you want to go, they told me to get another count today and let them know tomorrow, and they still are excited. There's 14 going, right, Brother Hector? 14? 14 going to that. So if you're a man and want to go to that men's retreat, you're welcome to go. Just see, put your name up there, see me, so we can get you on the list. We'll be leaving church here 24th, 11:30. Staying overnight in Georgia, they'll be eating a huge steak. The last steak I had was about that big. It was huge. And some of them went back for twos, seconds. It was huge, really. And for $50, listen, you get four sermons, a steak dinner, and a brunch. And all the fellowship around men that you can stand. I mean, if you want to go, please see me after church and enjoy yourself there. You'll have a good time at that, and we'll have an enjoyable time. Don't forget, coming up in March, our Financial Peace University There's a paper back here on the back with information on it. It's going to start coming out more and more and more. Brother Hector oversees that, him and Sister Maria. And so get your mindset ready to get out of debt and so you can do more for God. So look into that. See about getting involved in that if you've never taken it before. It'll be a blessing to you. Now, Benji always asks me, Dad, you've got game. And he's talking about game with the ladies. I've been married 30 years. I've got all the game I need. But I'm fixing to put some to school that need help with their game. Tony, Benji, Jason, Caleb, Ethan, Jared, I need y'all's help. Come on up. The price is right. Give them some help with their game. Some of them are halfway there. They hadn't got them to the altar yet, so he's got it. It is not hooked up and latched up. We're going to recognize our widows today, and these young men are going to help me with that. We have widows in the church that have been a blessing to us, a blessing to our church family. And God says for us to honor our widows. Trying to get them back to where y'all closely seated so y'all aren't running around in the church lost. Have to get their GPSs out to get back to their seats. Okay. Now, this is what I want you to do. When you go over there, get down on one knee, take one hand, kiss it, tell them the church really appreciates everything that y'all do for us. And we love you as a church. You know, you got it? You know what she said? If you know where your person's sitting, go ahead and go. Get down on one knee, take one hand, kiss their hand. Tell our church really loves and appreciates everything that you do for us. Yes. Spirit. Sister Betty, where are you at? Raise your hand. Is there over there? She's all the way upstairs. Oh. Right there, Tom. Finish up.
Hurry up, Tony.
Now, do we have any visiting widows with us today, or widowers? If you're visiting with us, and you're a widow or widower, church, please give our widows a hand. One more from our church that we'd like to give out before we get into the message this morning. Benji, I need your help. Come back, please. This here is for Haley Hester. Her husband's in the Army training out west, and we want to recognize her as well, being alone this morning without her husband on Valentine's Day. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 1 this morning. Genesis chapter 1, I will not keep you long at all. I promise you, if you're visiting with us this morning for the very first time, thank you so much for visiting with us. We trust that you'll have a good time here in the house of God. And if you're a return visitor, thank you for being with us as well. Good to have Tony's grandma and grandpa with us all the way from Ohio. Glad to have the McKeons here with us visiting. They've been a friend of our church and family from a distance for some time. So glad to have them. Glad to have Tony part of our church as well. And I see we have some visitors that swing in half a year or so, or stop in from up north to get out of the cold and chill. We've got a few more of them visiting with us today. Good to have you with us as well. All right, Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. And we're going to read down to verse 13. And we're going to just talk a little bit about creation and compare it and contrast it with other areas where God has created and is still creating today. Here we go, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, but the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning, or the first day. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters from under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second day. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the water called he seas. And God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, and whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning was the third day. This morning's thoughts, the God of beginnings. The God of beginnings. In verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. Now listen, God was already there. He didn't need somebody to create him. He was there. And we take that much as by faith. If you will, look over in Deuteronomy 33. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 33, just a few books inside the Bible to your right. Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 27. This is how the Word of God, God titles Himself here in this portion of Scripture. It says in Deuteronomy 33:27, the Eternal God. The Eternal God. So God is eternal. God is eternal. He's always existed, always has been. There won't be any before Him. There was none before Him. There'll be none after Him. Going over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah chapter number 43. Back about middle ways of your Bible. Isaiah chapter 43. And verse 10. Isaiah 43 and verse number 10. Isaiah 43:10, the Bible says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. So God's eternal. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so as we begin to read here and begin to look at this, we see that God was at work in the very beginning, creating what we know as the earth. He did it in 6 literal days. It wasn't 6 eons. It wasn't 6 thousands of years. It wasn't a struggle We take God's word at face value for what it says, because without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 6. Now the Bible says here that the earth was without form and it was void. In verse 2 it was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. The Spirit of God moved about and brought change. And this is the same purpose that is for our lives. Look back over in 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Here we have God creating the earth and everything there is. And I know only I read down to verse 13 just for the sake of time, but if you read on through the book and the finish that chapter, he created the animals and the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, and then he created man. He put man to sleep, and he took a rib. He made a woman. And in verse 31 of Genesis chapter 1, God just said it was good. He finished his creation, and he rested. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." In that moment, dear friend, before salvation, our life was without form, and it was void. No different than in the creation there in the first day. You and I were hopeless. I mean, we had no help, and no hope. There was a missing portion of us, because the Bible says He created man in his image, and man chose to fall in the garden, and God separated them from the Garden of Eden, placed an angel there, a seraphim with a flaming sword, and as a witness to mankind, and showed mankind that there would have to be a sacrifice, and that sacrifice took place for redemption on the cross of Calvary. And so you have creation in the beginning as we know it, there of all the things that we enjoy, the earth and everything therein, God created. And then later on, salvation is part of creation. He creates us a new heart, a new life. He makes us new in Christ Jesus. There was darkness upon our lives, and the Bible says men love darkness because their deeds are evil. And so there's that part of creation that happens at the new birth. He creates a new heart, a new person in us. Look in Psalms 51. Psalms chapter number 51. Psalms chapter number 51, verse 10. There's a continual work of creation in our life, in our heart. And after we're saved, we're born again, we're bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not sinless. Therefore, we fall and backslide, and we hinder the work of God in our life. And King David was realizing this as he pondered over the thoughts of what happened with Bathsheba and the killing of Uriah, all by his hand and his doing. Here in this very repentant chapter, as he's been confronted by Nathan the prophet, verse 10, it says there, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." So three places in the Word of God. We have in Genesis 1, we have the creation of everything we know. Man's there. Then we have salvation, a creation of that dead man, Adam, quickened and made alive. God creates us a new creature. And then a continual, day by day, hour by hour, week by week, however you need it, as much as you need it, as often as you need it, there's that new creation of new heart. Because I'm telling you, if we're not careful, our heart becomes cold and fallow and hard, and once again, and we become just with apathy towards the thing. We're presented with apathy towards the things of God. And so there's that constant needing to have a clean heart, because we live in a dirty and filthy world. I mean, it's very hard, dear friend, to even take your kids on an entertainment trip without finding some sort of sin that is presented, something trying to pull us away from God. Well, preacher, what exactly is sin? Sin is simple. I don't know why we try to make it so difficult, try to get so deep and so theological with sin. Sin is doing anything that God said not to do, and sin is not doing anything that God said to do. It's that simple. I mean, we look at the world around us and we point out this is sin and that is sin and this is sin. And boy, we're quick to look and to notice sin that somebody else is involved in. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Word of God says. Now listen, God brings light. And back there in Genesis chapter number 1, God brings light simply because God is light. God is light. You think about the time in Exodus chapter 34 when Moses went up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments. As he was up there, and he met with God, talked with God. And as he came down, he began to meet with the people of children of Israel. And the Bible said that his skin shone in so much that it made the people fearful that Moses would put a veil over his face because of the light of God that was upon him. I think about Luke chapter 2 and verse number 9, where the Bible says, "And the glory of the Lord shone round about them." The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Turn with me over in Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22. Last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 5. People want to dispute and want to refute and try to tell us that there's no way that creation can be because the Bible says that there was light before the sun was ever created. But I'm going to tell you why, because God's light. Look what it says here in verse 5, Revelation 22. "And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. It was darkness. And it was void. And the Spirit of God moved." In verse 3 in Genesis chapter 1. "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the night the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day." The reason there's light is because God's light. He doesn't need the sun. The sun is there to reflect onto the moon and to send light. And it's kind of like a telescope of God's light, you might say. It might be a reflector of God's light because God is light. Listen, I understand the sun is fire. I understand the stars there. But it's that because God said it to be. So God brings this light, and the sun and the moon are the deputies to bring God's light to the earth, and God wants us to bring light, wants to bring light out of our lives. And so just like in creation, as God created, as we're born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He creates in us a new creature, God desires to bring light out of our life. He desires to shine through our life and to bring the light of God into the light of those that are around us and those that are needing the gospel message. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Verse 4. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." What does the next verse say? "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Just like that creation at the beginning, when God said, "Let there be light," when God created a new heart and made us a new creature in Christ Jesus, He desires that there be light, the light of God, shine through and out of us. You know, the Bible says in Matthew, let your light shine. You know, the little song the kids sing is not to be hid. And sometimes, I'm just to be honest with you, dear friend, that we allow the things and cares and the happenings around us in the world, we allow those things to hide our light. And it's no wonder that the lost world cannot see any hope and any glory because we're not allowing the light of God to shine through us. Go over in John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8 and verse number 12. John chapter 8 verse number 12, the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Ask yourself, what kind of flashlight are you for this world? How is your light? This is part of creation. This is God's doing. This is God. This is what God's doing in our life. Just like He did in the creation in the beginning, this is what He's doing in the Christian's life. And let Christ take us out of the darkness of this world and allow His light to shine through for the world to see that God is good. So God brings light just like He did in the creation. God desires to bring light into your life. The Bible says, let's see if I can find it. It just came to my mind. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. I don't know why I didn't write this down earlier. Thank God for the Holy Ghost of God. He brings these thoughts there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. And so many times we throw this out only at marriage. But this is dealing with everything. This passage is everything that we do. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" What communion hath light with darkness? God desires to bring that light into our life so that it shines, so that it's presented to the lost, so that they can see their need for Christ Jesus. And if our light's not shining, the light of God is not shining in us, dear friend, how in the world do they know that they are missing anything? How do they know that they are without form and void if their life looks just like our life?
Amen.
If they're looking at us and they're seeing what we're doing, seeing things we're involved in, they have no idea that they are void without God in their life. Unfortunately, nowadays it's just it's scary to know that we as Christians, we as God's people, we want to attract folks. We want to attract lost. Well, I guess they call them seekers still. We want to attract seekers by being like seekers. That is what the Scripture says: the blind leading the blind. We don't want to attract people by the way they are. How many of you have ever heard this saying of old? You get more flies with honey. You're going to attract more people to Christ by living Christ's life. It's that simple. God desires to bring light into our life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Old things pass away and all things become new. All that dark stuff, all that simple things, all that things contrary to God, they're passed away and all things become new. God desires to bring light into your life so you can be a testament of His saving grace. And when He brought light in creation, He brought order. The evening and the morning was the first day. He brought order. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, when God saves you and God puts His, the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, He's not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. He brings order to your life. And I'm fixing to step off and get probably y'all going to get fighting coon dog mad in here probably. Ladies, you are not second choice. You're not floor mats. But God did not create you to be a man. He crowned you the crown of creation. Men, he said that we're to love our ladies and love those around us as Christ loved the church. This here hogwash of feminism that's running around our nation. Ooh, Sister Kristen.
Amen.
It's of the devil.
Amen.
Ladies, you're not to be barefoot in the kitchen and drugged around by a hair of your head. Don't go out of here. They're recording it. They got me on record. If you're going to tell the whole story, tell the whole story.
Amen.
You're not some cave woman just to be, all you're here is for pregnancy and reproducing. That's not the only reason you're here. But God's got a God of order. He's a God of order. When He saves you, He brings order into the situation. And if your man don't want to do right, guess what? He's going to answer to God. Because God's a God of order. God's a God of order. He brings that order. The light of God was revealed in a chaotic condition. Without form, without void, then there was light and things began to happen. The waters was divided and separated and things, the waters under the firmament and firmament, didn't it? It was called heaven. It was a God. He's a God of order in our life, in our Christian life. There has to be order. There has to be order. Men, you're to love God first and foremost. And then love that special lady inside of your relationship. That special lady, love her as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
There's an order to this. And God's that way. Listen, and I'm going to tell you something. The cross itself brought division. Look at the story of the cross. I'm not going to go back and study it, but you go back and study it. Here's the man in the middle we know as Jesus. On one side was a malefactor. On the other side was a malefactor. They were criminals. They were hung for their crimes they had committed. On one side of the cross, there was one that railed at Jesus. And on the other side, where that division, there was one that accepted his wrong and accepted Christ. And the Bible said that Jesus looked at him and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." There is an order. There is an order to the things that go on in salvation. We don't work to get saved. We don't baptize to get saved. We work because we are saved, and we are baptized because we are saved. There's an order. We don't go sleeping around with other people before marriage.
Amen.
Because there's an order. Amen. The marriage bed is undefiled and holy before God. There's an order. One, I looked at this and I said, "God, you sure? It's Valentine's Day." There's an order. God brings order. He puts it in place and puts it in there. And it's amazing how He said the seed of that plant would bring forth the seed of itself. There's an order to it. There's an order. That's why this here things that are going on in our system, our world system as we know it, is chaos and is chaotic.
Amen.
You know how it's chaos and chaotic? Because no two women can bring forth a child, and no two men can bring forth a child. That's chaotic. They got a soul, they need to be saved, they're welcome here as much as they want, and we love to have them. But there's an order. There's an order. And God brings order into it. There's an order in the church.
There's a pastor, there's the deacons, there's two offices, and you know, and then there's the membership, and you become a member by presenting yourself membership, and being saved, born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and baptized, and of like faith and practice, and there's an order so that we can go out and propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's order. So God brings in that light, and when He brings in that light, there's order. What's the light to show us? Something's not correct. How many of you, just be honest with me, be as honest as you would if Brother Kurt LeVeau, who sings and preaches for us, who's blind at our anniversary service, if he was a heart doctor, how many of you would want to go in and get surgery? Knowing he's the one doing the surgery. Well, let's take that back. The most prominent heart doctor there ever was and ever is, with all the knowledge and the ability and all of the things that go along with being a heart surgeon, if he had no lights in the operating room, how many of you want to lay down and let him go to work? The light brings focus on to the... Why does God bring light? Because we need to know when we're right, when we're wrong with God. And as He brings that light, we say, oh, this is out of order, this is out of order, this is not in order. And we get it in order because God's a God in order. And with that order, there's life. In creation, we read it, there was light, there was order, separation, and then there was the grass that sprung up, which is, represents what? Life. There's life in us if we follow God's order. As He brings that order, God divides the water of the land, the seas, the lakes, the rivers appear, and then all of a sudden planet Earth is sustaining itself in life, because that is God's way of doing things. We as God's people, whenever we were created, we were sinful, we were fallen, we trusted Christ our Savior, we became His child, and little by little if you read the Genesis chapter 1, there was no rain, there was no thistles, no thorns, no nothing before the fall. Then all of a sudden sin came into the world, there's thorns, there's thistles, there's problems, there's disease, there's pain and childbirth, and all these things became because of sin. Listen, after you get saved, there's all kind of things that happen to us that cause pain. There's thorns, there's thistles that come into our life, and we need God to come back in and to bring about order in our life. Well, how do you know if there's life? How did we know in Genesis chapter 1? Let's go back and read it. Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 9. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 9. We're going to hurry along. I promise you, I'm almost done. I only got 3 more lines on this paper. 3 more lines. That's it. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. There's fruit. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. There's fruit. When you have life, fruit comes out. If you're saved, there should be fruit in your life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's the Spirit that lives within us. The Holy Spirit of God moves in. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. John chapter 15. Go to John chapter 15. And verse number 8. John 15, 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. The light of God comes into our life, creates us a new creature in Christ, where He is born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins to place things in order in our life, and as things become in order, fruit begins to be produced out of our life because God is life. And when you put God inside of us, He bears Himself out of our life. You have creation there in the beginning. You have 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're born again, He makes all things pass away and all things become new. And Psalms 51:10, created me a clean heart. Created me. In other words, God, I've dimmed the light. God, I've brought things in my life that have darkened the light. God, would you remove that so that I can bring forth that fruit once again in my life? I don't know about you, but I've thought about times in my life as a Christian, as I've trusted Christ and as my Lord and Savior, and I've had times of coldness, times of carnality, times in my life where I just allowed the cares of this world to woo me away from the things of God, and the appetite of the flesh began to take over, and before long I was just there. I was existing. I don't know if you've noticed out here on this side we have all these sago palms. I think there's 4 on this side, 3 on this side, 1 right there by the door. It took its last breath this year. It's dead. It's there. There's no green, no life, but the stump is still there. This week I told Brother Jim, I'm going to hook my truck up to it, I'm going to jerk it out, and it's going to be gone. Listen, sometimes God takes us, He prunes us, He works in us, He shovels around, He fertilizes, He cultivates, He woos, and for long He says, they're going to have to go on the shelf. There's no life, and they have no desire for life. Then you place you on the shelf. You exist. You're going to heaven. You're going to spend eternity with Him. But you're no use to Him when you're there on the shelf. You're right there, and you're there. When you're supposed to be a tool that's used, the Bible says that we are an epistle that's open and read among men. Used. Let me ask you this. Is the God of creation who brought forth light, the God of creation who put order in creation and brought forth life, is He at work in your life today? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, I'd love to take the Word of God, take the opportunity to show you that Jesus loves you. That God will forgive you. And that God will save you. Maybe you're a Christian today that you're out of order. If somebody was to look into your life, maybe a neighbor, maybe a co-worker, maybe an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, they'd see no difference in your life than their life, and your life's all out of whack, out of order. May I encourage you today to come let God of order put things back in order in your life.